I'm going to show you a couple of images, and I want you to tell me what they're worth, what you think they're worth. Appraise them, if you will. So here's the first one. Again, hopefully. No, I guess I got to do it from the computer. All right, so there's the first one. Can you see that? It's a pencil sketch. Woman appears. What do you think that is worth?
8 million.
Yeah.
8 million? Come on.
Picasso.
All right, all right. How about this one? Set of golf clubs. Actually, woods. About 50 years old, used. Old, heavy leather bag. What do you think? 40 bucks? Yeah. What was that?
$500.
$500. Okay, good. Yeah. Well, in actuality, I left too soon. In actuality, this was, of course, a Picasso sketch. Sold at an auction for $48,000.
Oh, you overpaid.
Yeah, you overpaid, Kurt. Didn't expect that, but there's a sketch with a pencil. Kind of looks like a woman, I guess. $48,000 at an auction. And the golf clubs.
Oh, my. Who's golf?
Yeah, all together. $1,160,000 owned and used by John F. Kennedy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, see, I didn't tell you that. We're not always very good at appraising things or determining the value of things, and I think that includes ourselves at times. We have a tendency to go back and forth between overvaluing and undervaluing ourselves. Reinhold Niebuhr was a theologian in the 1900s, early to mid-1900s, and he didn't use the term misvaluing, but he basically said that all of human sin and folly stems from misvaluing ourselves. He said there are two categories. There are the sins of pride, and those come from overvaluing ourselves. Not seeing ourselves as created beings, but putting ourselves in the place of God. Seeing ourselves as God, the center of the universe, in control. And then there are the sins of sensuality, which are seeing ourselves lower than human beings, like animals, who don't have any choice about what to do with our desires. We have trouble figuring out whether we're like gods or like animals or where in between we are. Where is our value? And we search all over the place for some sort of assurance that we have value, that we have significance, that our lives mean something. And when we come up empty in that search, we feel worthless. Throughout Lent, we've been talking about some of these things that we feel. Why do we feel guilt? Why do we feel shame? This morning we asked, why do we feel worthless sometimes? And I want to suggest that it's because we often look for value in the wrong places. I'm convinced that when we will find our greatest value, it will not be because of who we are in ourselves, but in God's love for us. We find our greatest value, not in ourselves, but in God's love. And we're going to ask four questions about this feeling of worthlessness, and what do we do with that feeling to really find our value and appropriately evaluate ourselves. The first question is very simply, why do I feel worthless? Why do we feel worthless sometimes? And again, I think it comes from trying to find value in things that were never meant to give us value. We try to find value in things that come and go, that fade. And we find value in things that are really shaky foundations for worth. Sometimes we look for value in our gifts, our abilities, the things we can do. And then when we run into someone who's better at something or we lose that ability for some way, then we feel worthless. Our source of value is gone. We find value in our appearance, in our attractiveness. And eventually that fades and we feel worthless. We look for value in other people's opinions of us. If other people like me, I must be valuable. And then we run into someone who really doesn't like us. Or the people we thought were friends turn their backs on us. And then again, we come to this feeling of insignificance. We find value in our roles as a parent, as a doctor or a pastor or an accountant. We have value. Someone pays us for that, so that must be where our value is. But what happens when the kids become independent and don't need you quite as much? What happens when you can't do your job anymore or have to retire? Where is your value then? We actually calculate our net value sometimes in financial worth, our ability to make money. Most of us come to the conclusion that that is an empty place to find value. Or some of us even look for value in our religion, our morality. If I'm a good person, if I do good things all the time, then I have value. Until we fail, until we mess up, until we sin. And then all of a sudden we're left again feeling worthless. When the source of our value is taken away, that is when we feel worthless. And the reason we do this, the reason we go on this search and then end up feeling worthless, is because we're trying to find value in and of ourselves. And it's not where we were meant to find value. We were meant to find value in relationship, in community. First and foremost, in community and relationship with God. Way back in Genesis 2, tells the story of the creation of the first people. And in verse 7, it says, "Then the Lord God formed man from the dust of the earth and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being." In other words, what are we apart from the breath of God? It says dust. Then, in verse 18, God looks at the man and says, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper as his partner." We were meant to find our value in relationship with God and in loving relationship with others. Not just people's opinions of us, but in being loved and loving others in return. That's where we were meant to find our value. And so, as we search for worth, as we search for significance and value, it may seem like taking a step back, but I think we need to start by accepting that in and of ourselves, we are unworthy. So just like we feel guilt, because a lot of times we have done something wrong, or we feel shame because there are things in our lives sometimes, on some level, that are not what we would want other people to see. We feel worthless sometimes because we find value in and of ourselves when we were never meant to find value there. That's kind of what Paul is saying in Romans 5, I think. Look at the words he uses to describe us. Verse 6, "For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly." Verse 8, "While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Verse 10, "For if while we were enemies of God," putting our desires in opposition to God's desires, those are the words Paul uses of us in and of ourselves there. And he's not alone. In Isaiah 40, verses 7 and 8, Isaiah compares people to grass. He says, "Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God endures forever." We're here for a time and then we're gone. James, in chapter 4 of his letter, says, "What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes." Had a few years to Shakespeare. In Macbeth, he writes, "Life is but a walking shadow. A poor actor struts and frets his hour upon the stage and then is heard from no more." He says it's a tale told by an idiot, full of sound and fury, but in the end, signifying nothing. The theme of the scriptures is that if we look for value in ourselves or in the world around us, we're going to come up empty. We're going to feel worthless. We feel worthless because we're looking for value in the wrong places. It's like if I go into my bank, I need money, I go into the bank, and I look around the lobby, and I look at the tellers, and I don't see any money anywhere. And so I walk out because I assume, well, there's no value there. There's no money there. I was just simply looking in the wrong place. What do we do then when we have these feelings of worthlessness? Where do we go? What do we tend to do? I think we do three things. We retreat, first of all. We think, "Oh, I have nothing to offer. I'm a burden to other people." And so we just kind of step back from relationships. Some people, these feelings are serious. Guilt, shame, worthlessness are serious. Some people commit suicide because they feel worthless, like they're a burden to other people. We retreat. We settle. We end up in unhealthy relationships and unfulfilling work because we thought someone might have some value for us. And we jump at that chance and then realize that it was just fleeting. Or we overcompensate. A lot of times I think people that we see as arrogant people, are really the people who feel worthless the most. They think if they can convince others of how good they are, or how smart they are, or how powerful they are, then they'll be assured that they have value. We feel worthless because we're looking for value in the wrong places. So then, where should we look for value? If it's not in ourselves, if it's not in other people's opinions of us, where should we look for value? Probably won't surprise you when I suggest that we look for value in the God who created us. Genesis 1:28 says that God created the man and the woman in His own image. He put His stamp on us. In Genesis 2, it says, unlike any other creature, any other thing God made, God formed the man from dust in His hand and breathed life into him and spoke to him. We have value because we are created in God's image. But even more specifically, we find value and see what our true value is when we look at the cross. Just like we find mercy when we bring our guilt to the cross, we find mercy. When we bring our shame to the cross, we find freedom. When we bring our worthlessness to the cross, we find love and we find value. Romans 5 answers three questions, real quick, about what the cross says to us. It answers the question, for whom did Jesus die? In verse 6, for while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. When did Jesus die? In verse 8, while still we were sinners, Christ died for us. Not once we became good enough, not once we made ourselves worthy, but while we were still sinners, Christ died for us, at our worst. In verse 10, or verse 11, why did Jesus die? So that we could be reconciled to God. Because God wanted to have relationship with us, and bring us back into that relationship with Him. In verse 8 it says, but God proves His love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus died to show us that we are loved and that God has given us value. So when we've searched for value in ourselves and other people and our jobs and all these places and come up empty, it's time to bring those feelings of worthlessness to the cross. Because on the cross, God says, you are valuable because you are a creation of God. And God has marked you with His signature. Just like that lame picture of the woman up there, the pencil sketch, had value because it had Picasso's signature on it. You have God's signature on you, and so you have value. You are valuable because God loves you. As Isaiah 43 said, you are precious and honored in my sight, and I love you. You are valuable because Jesus has given His life for you. God has made you His children. If you've come to the cross and received that gift, you belong to God. Just like those old beat-up clubs had value because of who they belonged to and who used them, we have value when we belong to God, when we are His, when we are His children. In looking for the value of some Picasso sketches, I was doing some research online, and I was looking for one in particular. It's called The Dog, and it's just like a couple lines on a piece of paper. So I was like, what is this worth, really? And I went to a site, and it said, you can't determine the value of this picture, of this drawing, because it's not for sale. The point was that you can only really figure out the value of something based on what someone will actually pay for it. We have a firm foundation for determining our value because Jesus has paid His life for us. Jesus has shed His blood for us. The Son of God was exchanged for us. That is where our value is. When we come to the cross, we are united with Jesus. We become children of God. Romans 5:5 says, God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. That is value that doesn't change back and forth. It is constant because God's love is constant, because Jesus has already died. At our worst, Jesus died for us and bought us back. So where do we go from here? Where do we go from here? If this is true, if our value isn't in all these other things, but is in God's love for us, I think it radically changes how we live our lives. Most of us live our lives to prove our value to God, to prove our value to other people, to try and increase our worthiness so that we can deserve something. And that leaves us just feeling anxious. If our value is not based in what we do, who we are in ourselves, what other people think of us, if it is in God's love, this whole goal of proving ourselves is void. There's no reason for it. Because God's love for you is not earned. It's received. It can't be increased. It is perfect just the way it is. And so when we come to God in faith, we can rest and live secure in our value, secure in the love of God. Instead of trying to prove ourselves, then, our goal becomes very simple, helping other people to experience God's love as well, helping other people to feel God's love, helping people to learn to find their worth and their value in God, helping people give up that search for value and worth and all these other things and take them to the cross and say, look at how much God values you. No longer then do we have to live in anxiety, trying to figure out where we are, but simply in gratitude and love for God and others. I don't think, and correct me if I'm wrong, that George and Sarah and Stacy decided to come and buy this house on Lewis Avenue so that they could earn God's love by all the good things that they were doing for Him. They came there and they have this ministry and they embrace this ministry because they know, as George said, that God does love them. And they know that God loves the people in that community, no matter what they've done or who they are. That's what allows us to live a life of love, when we know that our value is safe and secure in the love of Jesus. The New Testament describes the followers of Jesus in a variety of ways. It calls us children of God. It calls us the very body of Christ. It calls us God's treasured possession, God's inheritance, the bride of Christ. And none of these descriptions are based on how much we have done or who we are. They're all based in how God relates to us and in how much God loves us. How could we possibly make ourselves any more valuable than that? When you feel worthless, bring it to the cross. See how much God loves you. And then let that love compel you to give your life to the most valuable work you could ever do, helping others to feel God's love, and leading others to find their source of value in something that never changes, Jesus' love for them. Let's pray. Loving God, we thank you that we can end our search for value and worthiness. We can end our battle for trying to prove ourselves to you and to the world. Thank you for allowing us to rest in your love. And Lord, I pray that you would help that to be our lives, living safe and secure in you, and then sharing that love with others. I pray all of this in the name of Jesus, who gave his life for us. Amen.